Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. Jim, we start with the good, and it's not often that we get to praise the mainstream media, although there are a few folks out there who, by and large, I think make an effort to play it straight. And one of those that you have mentioned in that category many times is Jake Tapper, formerly of ABC News, now of CNN, hosts The Lead weekday afternoons. And he has been asking tough questions on both sides. He had tough questions for Mark Regev, the spokesman for the Israeli prime minister, earlier in the week. Yesterday, he had on Palestinian negotiator, and that word should probably be in quotation marks, Diana Bhutu. And here's just a montage of how that conversation went down on CNN.
I'm glad you got out your talking points there. Let's get back to my question. Why is Hamas launching missiles into population centers of Israel, and are any other Palestinians trying to stop them from doing so?
As I've indicated, Jake, there have been attempts to try to stop all of this, but the fact of the matter is that the Israelis have indicated that they are not interested.
The spokesman of Hamas, we actually have the video of him going on Palestinian television, urging people to serve as human shields, staying in their homes, even if the IDF is warning people in those homes, because they're Hamas officials' homes, that they're going to be destroyed. They're telling them to stay there.
The idea that Palestinians use children as human shields is racist and reprehensible. And the idea that the Israelis are somehow spewing this and we're to believe it is also racist.
Diana, it's not racist that we have video of the Hamas spokesman on television telling people to stay in their homes. It's an effective way to make sure to fight off the Israelis. That's not racist. That's just a fact.
So good for Jake Tapper, and it once again exposes how I think a lot of the Palestinian folks expect more gentle treatment from most of the American media.
I think what's intriguing is that, you know, the message of the Palestinians is that their leadership is very used to lying and being able to get away with it. And oftentimes they would do it in two different languages. In their English language statements, they would say what the Western media wanted them to say of, oh, we're these oppressed minorities and we only want peace and all that stuff. And then in Arabic or in their native languages, they would end up with these much more incendiary, you know, we must drive the Jews to the sea type comments. Well, good for Jake Tapper for calling her out on this. And for her, when she says it's racist to say this, one, I didn't know Palestinian was a race. She basically said, look, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And kudos, I can't credit Jake Tapper enough for just calling her out on it, not letting her get away with it, and exposing, look, if she's lying about that aspect of this debate, how can we trust her on any other aspect of what she's saying in this debate?
Yeah, good point. And this is definitely going viral, at least on the right, but I think in other sectors as well as this crisis continues. Another crisis, of course, is the one going on the southern border between the United States and Mexico as we shift to our bad martini. And Jim, the president took a lot of heat for not going down there. We explained earlier in the week why being there wouldn't have been the biggest deal, whether he goes there or not. But how he's handling the issue is the biggest thing. Turns out now, as the crisis persists, he will be going on his traditional Martha's Vineyard vacation next month, 15 days from August 9th to August 24th, staying in a $12 million vacation home, according to the Washington Times. But before he left Texas, he was at a fundraiser, I believe, or maybe just a rally of some sort in Austin, and he went after the GOP for saying that he's overstepping his role as president constitutionally, and he, of course, then tried to chalk it up to, well, I want equal pay for women. I want kids to have better access to college education. I don't know what issues they're disagreeing with me on. And then it really got snarky.
So it's not clear, you know, how it is that Republicans didn't seem to mind when President Bush took more executive actions than I did. Maybe it's just me they don't like. I don't know. Maybe there's some principle out there that I haven't discerned, that I haven't figured out. You hear some of them. All right. Sue him. Impeach him. Really? I mean, think about that. You're going to use taxpayer money to sue me for doing my job while you don't do your job.
Well, Jim, I think the principle that he's not discerning, in his own words there, is the separation of powers, and not all executive orders are created equal. But between the vacation and the crisis and those comments about not allegedly understanding why conservatives are upset with him shows an unserious president, a lot of people believe.
Well, first of all, this is the guy who screamed bloody murder about President Bush's signing statements.
Yes.
Right. So there's the first thing. And he was, you know, he thought it was an imperial presidency when Bush was in office, turns around, claims all the exact same powers for himself. The entire audience there, like, think about his argument is like, look, I'm violating the Constitution, but Bush did too. So it's OK. And the crowd there is applauding and saying it's OK when our guy does it, but it's not OK when the other guy does it. When the president makes these trips, very often they'll do some sort of like, you know, town hall meeting on the economy or some sort of very campaign style event, but maybe he'll do a brief Q&A. This qualifies as an official presidential duty, so that the portion of the campaign of the trip that is paid for by the national committees that he's doing the fundraiser for is half or sometimes even less. Remember, they only pay for a certain portion of the cost of bringing the president out, and many have argued significantly less than they should. Well, this trip, I believe there was like three fundraisers over 2 days, right? I mean, like, fundraising is taking a bigger and bigger chunk of the president's time. And while he's not by far the first president to do fundraisers, even in the summer approaching of the midterms, you know, it's kind of strange to do it in a state that is experiencing a humanitarian crisis on its border that many people attribute as, you know, to be blamed by the president's policies of basically creating this impression amongst Central Americans that if you end up going to the United States, your children will not be deported. They'll be allowed to become American citizens. What strikes us as a kind of very lackadaisical schedule, he's going to the pool hall with the governor of Colorado, he's having pizza with Americans. I am glad that the president, after this exhausting schedule of fundraisers and campaign events, finally gets to go to Martha's Vineyard. He gets a little me time, Greg, and he'll spend 2 weeks at Martha's Vineyard in the next month, and, you know, finally going to be able to get away from it all. He'll finally be able to get out of Washington, even though he hasn't been in Washington for several days.
All the crises continue. Not much mention of that. All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim, and the issue that will really be gripping the world this weekend, and that is whether Pope Francis I or Pope Benedict XVI will have bragging rights following the conclusion of the World Cup. Argentina is meeting Germany in the final. Pope Francis is from Argentina. Pope Benedict is from Germany. So now the Vatican is brushing aside talk of a soccer rivalry, saying, in fact, that it's going to start pretty late. So Benedict, who isn't even really a soccer fan in the first place, is probably not even going to watch. The current Pope is a fan, but they're not sure if he's going to watch either. He might try to catch it. So, Jim, anybody who had visions of them sitting on the couch eating chips and popcorn and screaming that the other side was flopping probably isn't going to happen. But it was a nice try by the media.
It would be kind of fun. There was a picture floating around on Facebook of the two of them saying, well, I guess we know why Argentina and Germany are in the finals. It's very easy to picture the two of them kind of getting there, really getting into it. You know, both popes, notorious trash talkers. They really get in each other's faces. No, obviously they aren't, which is what makes it funny. Hopefully they got a chance to enjoy the game. It is kind of fascinating. There are times where, you know, I understand, you know, plays have been described as miracles, and I believe it was it Diego Maradona who had the play? It was called The Hand of God or something like that. So it'd be very interesting if there was some near miraculous play and one pope could go to the other and say, see? Told you. Heard it from the big man upstairs. You know, this is how it's going to go down. Look, you know, there's been a lot of kind of joking around with the World Cup over the last couple of weeks. It is nice to see people able to genuinely enjoy themselves, and you know, hopefully for those who don't care about the World Cup, you don't have to World Cup. Those of us like me who are rooting for Americans and then kind of lose interest, that's fine. I have enjoyed our sporadic quadrennial nationalism, and then, you know, promptly losing all interest in soccer whatsoever. But, you know, it's good for everybody. I just found out, as I mentioned in the morning jolt, Greg, I was pretty fascinated. My brother, in his high school days, played against Tim Howard when he was playing at his high school in North Brunswick, New Jersey.
Did he score on him?
He did not. He rode the bench, Greg. It's a better story if he'd actually said, yes, I scored 2 goals against Tim Howard or something. Nonetheless, it's kind of, you know, kind of a neat little connection there. And I've enjoyed your stay, soccer. I'll see you in another 4 years.
You know, when it comes back for the Olympics in 2016, also in Brazil, we might point out, well, you know, we'll root for the red, white, and blue again. But in the meantime, yeah, enjoy your time back in the shadows.
We need an amnesty for soccer to bring it out of the shadow, to tie all of our martinis today to one package.
Exactly. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday, Jim.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us on Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.